We all want to feel better, be happier, and have more freedom. And there are endless resources at our fingertips. But wading through a sea of self-help books, podcasts, and workshops takes more time than anyone has, except me. That's my job. I curate and translate the latest, most effective personal development wisdom to help you elevate your personal experience and improve the way you show up for others. I'm Kevin Miller, and this is Self-Helpful. How to embrace the athlete inside you for sustaining fitness. It's a little longer intro, but bear with me, folks. I staunchly believe perception's everything. Regarding your health and wellness and concerning the concept of exercise, there's a paradigm shift we can enact with ourselves that just, I found, works wonders. The word exercise does not create a lot of positive feelings in most people. It sounds like a chore. The point is movement, and we have to, you know, quote, exercise, because for the most part, all of us, our daily life just doesn't require much of any utilization of our lungs and muscles and joints. But I want you to consider the term athlete and why you might want to strive to adopt it. This is our Functional Friday episode where we tend to our physical and mental capacity to support us in our desired goals and achievements. So here's my setup. If you join a painting class, you might share with others that you paint, right? But if you do it daily or weekly and keep it up for years and get proficient, when do you refer to yourself as an artist? You don't have to do it for money to be an artist. The literal word artist is defined as a person who produces paintings or drawings as a profession or hobby. There you go. If you produce paintings as a hobby, you're an artist or whatever type of art. I mean, my home contains a ton of furniture pieces I made out of raw aspen here in our land. And when people see it, they often say, oh my gosh, I didn't know you were an artist. So you get the point. How about cooking? I mean, I cook for my large family almost every night of the week with recipes and all that jazz. They really like my food. The definition of a cook is a person who prepares and cooks food, especially as a job or in a specified way. I think I qualify to call myself a cook at this point. I do a lot of it. I'm pretty darn proficient, and I do it in a specified way. And in doing so, it goes from something that I merely do to a role I embrace. And I think about the roles you claim. I mean, think about myself. I don't husband some. I am a husband. I don't father here and there. I am a father. I don't entrepreneur once in a while. I am an entrepreneur. In claiming the role, I take much more ownership and responsibility. And in doing so, it helps me see myself as that and embrace the role. I may leave what I do, but I don't leave what I am. So with exercise, the definition is a person who is proficient in sports and other forms of physical exercise. I find a lot of people who engage daily in some fitness activity who call themselves athletes. And I think it's great. I was a professional athlete as a pro cyclist. I got paid, not a lot, but I did. Today, I don't have a pro status or a racing license, but I ride my bike or run almost daily. I do push-ups or dips or pull-ups most days, and I am an athlete. I call myself an athlete. It's not what I just do here and there. It's another role I've embraced. So if you engage in a physical activity and become proficient in it, proficient also defined as competent in doing something, you can adopt the label of athlete. It's not a chore you do. It's a role that you fulfilled, something you are, a label you give yourself. And regarding this idea, I actually asked our audience on Facebook at one point, I asked them this question, do you think of yourself as athletic? And over 80 comments came in that brought up some interesting issues I think you'll enjoy hearing. It'll give you some hope and opportunity, maybe some permission. I truly hope it inspires you to further embrace your athletic self and from that, your long-term fitness and wellness. The Self-Helpful Podcast was founded through the Zig Ziglar Corporation. June 15, 16 of 2023, I'll be in Dallas to attend and speak at the Ziglar Coach Summit. And if you're looking to influence people for the better, professionally or personally, I invite you to join us. Go check it out at Ziglar.com/Coach Summit. And following these sponsors who help make the show possible and provide great resources for your life, I bring you a conversation on embracing the label of athlete with my Functional Friday co-host, Randy James, medical doctor and functional medicine expert. I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon.
Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, so I like right there where we started off discussing this, the athletic, athlete, whatever, is a personals ad right there. So if you're going to write your personals ad, which I've never done.
I was going to say, people do that all the time these days.
People do that all the time. We have a good friend who just recently got married from a
site. I guess it is eHarmony and those kind of things. That I guess that is your now, that's what we're thinking about, a personals ad. It's not the newspaper.
I haven't been, exactly. I still think
that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
But so if you're going to put it in there and you're going to list out all your credentials and to say, gosh, I love to cook, I like dancing, I'm, you know, I guess people put in their ethnicity, I don't know what all they put in there, but would you want to put that in there, that I am athletic? I think most people would want to. Okay, so here's what you don't know. So I posted this question asking people, do you think of yourself as athletic? Got a ton of responses right away. And so when I post something online, I know whether it resonated within about 5 minutes.
Wow.
Because I'll start getting boom, boom, boom. And I did on this one. However, the first question I asked is, do you think of yourself as an athlete? In 24 hours, I got zero responses. It's almost to the point where I wondered, was there a glitch? Did Facebook? No, but I literally went on and just deleted it. Nobody responded at all. So if that's legitimate, nobody said an athlete, but I did get a lot more responses to
athletic.
Yeah. What would you say? Do you think of yourself as an athlete?
Yeah. When you first asked me that question this morning, I was thinking on the negative side, like, who am I to think I'm an athlete? I mean, you have been a professional athlete. But when you say athletic, I would say, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But an athlete, and in fact, my wife and I, Marcy, because she'll use that word, as an athlete. And I'll be like, well, I mean, really? We're athletic, but as an athlete, I get why that didn't resonate. Because it would not have, the two questions would be very different for me.
And honestly, it's not to sit here and make a point to where, you know, who is or is not an athlete. I think that we as a culture have gotten to the point of an athlete is somebody we watch on screen who gets paid and they have a contract and whatever. So, yeah, I was a professional athlete. I made money with that. Now today, am I an athlete? Well, you could say by proxy, is it because you compete? So I competed this year. I did some bike races and I'm in the expert, you know, level or whatever. But man, even without that, when have I not been? I went for years not doing any competition. And my family, well, here, this, so Joe Pellerito, I know Joe. He says, I'm 45. I recently was describing someone else as an athlete. And my wife said, well, you're an athlete too, honey. It's funny. And I didn't see myself that way and did not know it. But I loved it when she said that. So yes, I'm athletic. So athletic.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, if I told somebody, I don't know, I guess you do, I do think when I say of athlete, I'll think more people who compete. But my gosh, there's a zillion people who never make money doing that, but they do their 5Ks. They
no, but I think if, like our friend Patrick, I would call him.
Yeah.
You know, even though he doesn't compete, but he goes the extra mile. He buys the stuff. You would get Cycling Magazine or you're on Strava and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not. And those are the kinds of things I would cross over. Even somebody who doesn't get paid for it would be in that realm.
Well, so Jeff Bayless here. So I am going to go through and read some of the responses. He is I think he just retired from, oh, forgive me, Jeff, from the Marines, from the military. I don't know what it was, but from the military. He says, yes, athletic, but not an athlete. He said, and this is his, you know, perspective, the delineation between the two is a different level of commitment.
Yeah.
Okay. Devotion is, I thought about that too. I work out every single day. I compete in Ironman triathlons. However, it is something I do as a passion project. It isn't who I am. That's the difference in my opinion. And see, I see his stuff. I follow him on, he's on Strava. I'd say the dude's an athlete. I mean,
he clearly came from the Marines, not the Air Force.
Okay. a level of commitment, devotion, or competence. But even there, man, if you know somebody, I mean, we know people out there who are doing, they do, 20 races, like running races. Anybody can go do that. 5Ks, 10Ks. And let's just say they're technically butt slow. But I mean, it's part of who they are. They spend a lot of money on it. They go out there. I mean, are they an athlete?
I'd give them that.
So. I would too. My wife responded back and said, yes, most of her athletic pursuit or exercise these days is Zumba classes.
I'll give her credit.
She's maybe even saying physically able. I mean, is she, can this person right now, we can look up there and look at the ridge. And I know that cause that's up near my house and it's from where we're standing, it's about 800 or 900 feet up in elevation. And we're sitting now at 8,500 feet. So it's probably about 9,300 feet right up there. And you and I could take off right now and in a brisk walk and a little running, make it up there. And that's physical ability. I'd say it's athletic.
I would agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still wouldn't call me an athlete.
Yeah. Well, okay. And again, that wasn't the point, but it was just, let's look and see how people define it. So Matt McWilliams, a lot of these people, again, it's off Facebook. I know these folks. He said, a year ago, no. Now, yes. So I said, tell me the story. He sent me a picture. I didn't realize it. And this picture over here, beginning of the year, he is not small. And now he... face-wise, probably close to my face. I mean, he has lost a ton of weight. I don't know if he said that. He says, I'm working out at levels I didn't even do when I was in my 20s. And I'd say he's in his 40s at least. He's running 15-plus miles a week, lifting weights I never dreamed of before, 6 days a week. Now, so Matt, he is an online, I'll call him an online personality. He does a lot with affiliate marketing and works with a lot of influencers, is an influencer. And I remember probably last year, might've been when you and I even.
I was going to say, I remember him.
I think you met him
at
the Ziegler event we did in Nashville.
And he wasn't a small guy.
And he, boy, and I hope I'm doing him credit, Matt, forgive me if I get a little off, but it was something that he shared with me. He struggled with his own persona. Of being in business development, personal development, and here he is, not proud of how he looked and felt. So big change that to him matters. It probably makes him money. I mean, people do judge a book by its cover. Yeah. Brian here says, I play fairly athletic. I played ball in high school. Now I play pickleball and occasionally golf. Not very good at either, but good enough to enjoy them both. Again, I think, if you're investing and doing it consistently...
Do we call golfers athletes?
That's depending. I don't know. I struggle. Yeah. Maybe like a dart player at a bar or something like that. Not the disc golfing. I would do golf if they had a time limit on it,
speed golf.
Speed golf or full contact or something like this. Hey, this is cool. Steven Soshin, he says, well, I'm a Masters All-American sprinter at age 58. So I'll go for yes. Do you remember him? His name? Steven Soshin? Yeah. Zero shoes. Remember when, did you get them back then when we got the little sandals? I got the platform sandals that we tied on.
Yeah.
That's him.
Okay.
So today, Zero Shoes is a huge company. I mean, I think they're just up in Boulder. I just bought a couple pair. They had some big sale and I bought a couple pair. So yeah, he's a guy who obviously promotes these and yeah, you can do Masters level track and field and stuff.
Well, almost anything. Our friend Tony Dale. He was in at upper 60s or 70s, ranked number one in America in squash in his age group.
That's so
cool. I'll give him that title.
Yeah, absolutely. Jennifer here, she said, Jennifer Weisler, she says, yes, but it comes as a surprise to me when I can't do certain things I've always taken for granted, like lifting my Christmas tree by myself from the car to my home. I've lost strength, but not agility. And that's interesting because
You know, when I get on the bike, my head still thinks I'm a pro cyclist. I got into a fairly elite level race, man, probably 4 months ago. And it helped remind me that I'm not.
That's good.
I'm athletic. I'll still say athlete. But yeah, it's interesting for those who were. I mean, how many people do we know, though? Why is that? That you go to school, you play sports, you are athletic. It used to be back, you know, back in the day, I think you had to. You did recess, you did stuff, and then you leave it. At what point do you just stop, completely stop?
We've talked about this before in a different context, and the one that on the medical side, the one that I hit is especially women, when they hit middle school, they stop. Unless you are in volleyball or in tennis or in basketball, they don't play. Play has gone. So it's much easier to sit on your phone, play around on your phone or computer games or just be inside or just I don't want to. But in elementary school, girls and boys, they play. Play. You got to go outside and be recess. And then you have to go into a sport. There's no such thing as playing in the middle school to high school transition. And then I think in middle school here, just one of the years or two of the years had PE. And in high school, there's no required PE. Mm-hmm. So they have health, but no PE. So play stops. And the athleticism stops. That word athlete then gets tied into, well, do I play something? Am I in a sport? Or like we talk about all the time, what is my capacity? You and I know we could walk, run up that hill. And I know a lot of teenagers who would struggle.
Oh, well, we know that more and more every day.
Or just would choose not to.
How many are labeled obese now? I mean, we went through those stats recently. And yeah, the kids, we know that sports across the country, I don't know about the world, but at least the U.S., sports participation is way down. And yeah, how many kids right here at the high school, we can see part of the high school right now from here, of those kids, they left middle school recess, PE, and now do nothing.
They just don't do it. And that goes into the persona. They don't see themselves as athletic.
Well, and that's part of my inspiration, or what I hope to inspire today. And I was thinking about that. You know, what are the labels that we would want? Back to the personals ad.
Yeah.
We want. So for me, I want to be labeled. I like it that my family says, "Oh, Daddy is a really good cook." I want that one. I'd put that in my personals ad. don't they have a personals? They have a personals thing for married people, I think.
I don't know.
It's terrible that I know that they do. So I guess you can still do that. But you know, cook. I wrote down parent and spouse, but then I thought, no, that's not fair, because you can be a parent by proxy of you fathered or birthed a kid and suck at it, not be proficient, not devote at it.
Right. It has a different kind of the title parent is just kind of like saying black or white. I mean, when you say I'm a cook, that implies that you're actually a good cook.
Yeah.
If you say I'm a parent, that doesn't imply you're a good parent.
There's some quote that I've seen about Christians or something like being going to church doesn't make you a true Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car.
Right.
Did I get that right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, so I'm going to say, am I a good parent? That would be different. You know, a writer. I've always liked the term being a writer. And I would say, I mean, that's been most of my work. Even when you and I worked together on the mm-hmm. practice here, I wrote everything into existence. I wrote. So I could, am I a paid writer? Sure, but it's not until recently that I'm literally paid for that document that I wrote. But I've always considered myself a writer. I like that label. So, you know, again, that was part of the effort here is getting us to think about, am I athlete? Whether or not athlete, I'm going to say I'm an athlete, but am I at least athletic? Would you put that on your personals ad? And do you want to? So are some people going to hear this and I hope that it would inspire them to go, oh, I want that label. If I was going to write a personal ad, I would want that. Or if I was going to write you and I would like to see that on a job application. Can we ask that? I don't know HR laws.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million a product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. AirDoctorPro.com, promo code Kevin.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
If somebody is applying here to say, I'm athletic as a part of their job application, yes.
I would put
it more, implies certain characteristics about
exactly.
Somebody.
I would put more impetus on that. Let me think. I've done a marathon. I run a marathon. Than I would by saying I have a degree in whatever, because really one tells me a lot more about the person.
It completely depends. For your doctor, for your surgeon, do you really care?
Okay.
For your airline pilot,
true.
Your accountant,
okay. Okay, so it depends. If it's a, well, I'm not going to say a degree to diss somebody, because somebody out there's going to have one that I would name. But we know people who have a degree and, you know,
and they're a terrible accountant.
Yeah. They sat through class and they memorized enough to pass and got a degree, but to do what it takes to do a marathon, especially if we said, you know, at a certain time, that tells a lot.
Well, and I think here, and maybe I'm going to be the naysayer to you on this, not naysayer, but question skeptic guy, and say, a lot of people are also sitting there and saying, no, you know, and are they bad? Are they wrong? Are they for saying, you know, I don't really aspire to athleticism. And so I think where we are encouraging, the big question is, how does one see oneself? What is one's persona, and how does that then impact the quality of their life and their inspiration and aspiration and motivation? And does being athletic increase quality of life, increase your motivation, yes, aspiration? And I think you and I would land, if there was data that we could quote, I agree. I'm going to say yes.
How is there not data that we can quote?
Well, I'm going to go back to, no, there's not. We can go poll 100 marathoners and they might have a terrible marriage, well, and they hate their life. Okay, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's in the pie chart of health and wellness. It means something for a slice.
It means you can run a marathon.
Well, yeah, but if you're physically active, let's just go to that.
Okay.
Obviously, you know that ekes into a lot. I mean, you should by proxy be more mentally able if you're physically able. And vice versa, less if you're less.
I'm laughing because this is one of those areas where you like, okay, give me the boil down. Because I think you are overboiling this to say, if somebody runs, if they're athletic, then by proxy, by definition, they are better.
There's a higher probability of some other positive, of that positively impacting other areas of their life, as opposed to being sedentary.
I will agree with that in most cases.
Well, so, I mean, but to go back to the kids, you know, I have told my kids, and I imagine you, at what point should my kids leave athleticism? Because right now, okay, you know, Dakota, he's 10. He's 10 and he goes to recess and they play soccer and they play groundies and they play, you know, whatever all their little games are. And I've gotten him into sports, which I didn't with my older kids, and I regret. They ended up, now all of my older kids ended up doing at least cross country, but early on they didn't. And I regret that. I like what I've seen in your kids, the discipline, the achievement. I like that. I left sports. I got kind of tired of some of the narcissistic aspects, at least in my own sport, and left it. And I regret that because I like the benefit. Anyways, you know, so Dakota is, athletic. Because he's 10 years old. I mean, it's hard not to be. Well, it's easier every day now. But he is. At what point is it okay for him to leave that? And I would say never. If you're going to be a human, Dakota, and be able to, well, it comes to us and us talking about who do we want to be. Do I want to be 80 years old and be able to help my kids move? To show up with a moving van and heft a couch and help them move? To go on a hike with my kids? To go, for us to go on a 14er, because we're going to have kids and grandkids that go, hey, let's do a 14er. Oh, well, Grandpa, can you watch the little grandkids?
Grandpa on the couch.
Since you're going to be Grandpa on the couch. And I think I don't have that right. I don't have the right to not, to the best of my abilities, continue to be athletic just for my, kind of what Jennifer said. She's having a hard time taking her tree from her car to her house. It didn't used to be that way. When do we want to leave that ability?
Well, we don't. So we are now correlating the word athleticism with capacity.
Yes.
Capacity and resilience. And that's where I'd say yes. The human who is more physically capable / athletic does by definition increase capacity. They could wreck their lives in 100 ways over here.
Sure.
But as a part of the pie slices of life, it is not okay to leave athleticism. So now I'm also picturing the man or woman driving in their car. They're rolling their eyeballs at us. They're overweight and frustrated, and they're 10 years away from the last time they ever said, okay, I got to get back in shape or whatever. And the guilt, the layer of expectation that they have on themselves, a spouse has on them, or a friend or parent, and just the frustration of it. And I would put myself in that category, even though everybody judges me by weight and say, well, you look athletic and I get that benefit. How much athleting, how much capability exercising am I doing on a regular basis? It's less than what I ought to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lifetime benefit of having been active all of your life.
Sure. There hasn't been weeks and weeks go by where there's the cumulative effect of not doing anything.
Yeah, but when have you ever gone a week doing nothing athletic?
Well, I would say often.
Really?
Yeah. over the course of life, I mean, my goodness, you know, finals week and moving and military, whatever's, there's been many, many weeks of zero athletic activity.
I didn't know. Yeah, I probably have never had a week go by outside of a 2-year stint. So we had Caleb, who works here, works for you now, had him, and he ended up in the hospital with all his problems. I stopped cycling, got a real job, my only 2-year real job, and literally 2 years of a lot. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. It's been 25 years ago now that it's hard to remember, but my memory is I didn't do anything. I didn't really change weight. I just traded softness for muscle. And then it was getting close to 2 years, and my wife bought me a bike and said, please go train. She didn't even say go ride it. She said, go train, like for a race, because you're a better human when you do that.
So that's where I want to highlight the compassion that we have for people. Because like you said, I got a real job. Well, that is most people.
Right.
You are very unusual in your lack of real jobness and time availability.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've worked for it. But most people are in the ball and chain of a schedule, and to go add in, like, I love what you said. If you're a human being, to go in human, to go be, part of that is by definition moving and breathing, and if you're doing that in a chair, you know, like you wake up, you go sit at breakfast, you sit in the car, you go sit at work, you go and come back home and sit in front of the TV. That's not humaning as human as you could be, but at the same time so we're now back to, if somebody can choose to see themselves as capable and athletic, then the next thing is to go and do those things.
Yeah.
Like we say about our pull-ups. If I want to be doing 15 pull-ups every year, the rest of my life, I need to do them every day, and then I'll be the guy doing them.
Yeah. And then again, yeah, it comes to who do we want to be. What do we want to be investing in? What do we want to be making deposits in to therefore be? And the whole thing just got me thinking of the term athletic. And to some degree, who would not want that term? Now, I do get that. My mom has, and she may listen to this, and I think she's okay with me sharing. She spent a lifetime saying, I don't like exercise. Hate exercise. Just don't like it. And now at 70, whatever she is, she's trying to do it because she does not want to lose mobility, capacity. She does not want to lose that. And I think there's some, you know, regret for that in the past. So yeah, I know you get, and it's so hard. We're all advocates, confirmation bias of what we enjoy doing. And I love my exercise. So does everybody need to do that? On the bookshelves behind me, I remember one, Janelle Bruland, I'll have to go look and see what her book is, but she said, I hate exercise. I ask her about her habits. She says, I hate it, but I do it. There's another guy too. This is in the past year, because usually people are okay with it, but they said, I hate it.
I'm going to quote Patrick Mahomes. Okay. And I think people out there will remember this commercial if you're a football fan and the green beans. 100% hate them, 100% don't care. As he's eating them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be like me having to deal with finances.
100% hate them. 100% need them.
Thank goodness. That's a little unfair because I can delegate most of that by paying CPAs. But that means I'm taking my vocational time to earn money, and I'm investing it to make sure that it is taken care of.
You know, that's an interesting contrast, because when it comes to the green beans, people just don't do them, or their vegetables or exercise. You can't not budget to some degree. You can't not eat anything. But 100% hate them. Most people will say 100% not doing it.
Yeah.
But unlike Janelle, who said she hated exercise, but finish her story. Does she exercise?
Yep. Yep. And she did. And again, she's gotten to the point, or gotten a lifestyle where she can afford it. And she's just like the other guy whose name is slipping me right now. And both of them said, I hate it.
Oh, didn't she pay somebody?
She paid. Yeah. Both of them did. Both of them. One of them paid to have a personal trainer show up at their home. One of them pays, you know, goes somewhere. But, you know, back to my wife, she has been a lifetime. She was a professional, you know, dancer, and she's run marathons and whatever. I don't know that she likes it though. And she is, admittedly, she looks at me in my rec room, you know, working out. She says, it's so cool you can do that. I just can't, or won't. I'm just not going to. So she gets up in the morning like she did this morning. Her alarm goes off at 7 o'clock. She's not a morning person, but her alarm goes off at 7 o'clock. She puts it in the, I'm going to snooze it 50 times. So she put it in the bathroom. So it goes off in there. So she has to get up, go in there and do it. And then she got in her car and went to class, and she does Zumba class with her social group of friends. I mean, she's excited to go just to connect with them. And half the time, she didn't ever tell me much about the class or what they did. She just tells me about, oh, Susie was doing this and Barbara's doing this. And that's her connection time. And she works her butt off. She'll do two classes sometime. I think it's just as much to hang out with people.
Yeah.
And get out of mommy role sometimes. And it keeps her well. And she has high capacity. Yeah. So I do like that aspect of what... To have the capacity to be 80 and mobile, you have to be an athlete to some degree. To be mobile, again, it's not the person. We just said there was recently a lady in a wheelchair. She's 100 years old. She can't get out of the wheelchair. I don't really want to be that. I'd rather knock off before then.
I think most people would say that some people say, you know, I have a family history, a lady said yesterday, and I plan on living for a long time. And then we're back to the question, are you going to live or linger? Yes. How are you going to live, or are you going to be lingering in a home or in a chair or in the rocking chair? Are you grandpa on the couch?
Yeah.
And none of that is immoral, but it is by definition less capable. And that's where I think for you and I, we have such a strong sense of mission and passion and purpose. Even with our family, like I want to be grandpa helping us move and grandpa takes us skiing, not only grandpa on the couch.
Yeah.
And that is motivating.
Well, and I will say this, and I know you'll understand this. I have older kids. Your oldest is 14. My oldest is 25, I think. And the older ones have all testified saying, Daddy, you inspired us with your pursuit of physical wellness. Mm-hmm. So just to the parents out there realizing, whether you like it or not, to realize what you expose your kids to will matter. And I don't know. I'm sure it exists, but it feels like most of the active people I know, it's gotta be statistically, you know, they tend to have more athletic kids. I mean, I'm sure there's how many kids become doctors whose parents were doctors. I mean, the stats are higher. It's what they're exposed to. And whereas you got other kids going, I could never be a doctor. If your parent's a doctor, you think, well, of course I could.
Yeah.
Dad did it.
So go the opposite. And I've told the story about you before, and way early on in our relationship, when I first got to town, and I was saying the very typical thing that people say. If I ask you, what do most people say when I say, do you exercise? And they say no. And I say, why? I don't have enough
time.
Time is number one. Second is I don't have enough
energy.
Yep. 99% right there. Now somebody might say, well, I hurt my leg, or, you know, I have a rash or something. But time is way number one. And you and I were getting to know each other, and you asked me that. And I said, oh my gosh, yeah, but I don't have enough time and whatever else. And you said, so are you teaching your kids that? Or you said it in such a way that, so you are teaching your kids that.
Yeah, I did. That's funny that you say that, because I think the same thing about you talking about being an entrepreneur. And you said, are you teaching your kids to be harried and frazzled?
Harried and hectic. And
that was convicting to me about how I was showcasing my, yeah.
Totally. So, and I think a lot of people hearing this right now are, we're all busy. I hope you're busy. Otherwise you're, you know, bored or doing nothing, and have kids, have family, have a spouse, have things to do. But if you say, well, I can't do this thing that we say is critical to be a better human, there needs to be movement. And I'm speaking to myself now. And if you aren't doing those kind of things on some kind of rhythmic, regular basis or whatever, you are by definition teaching yourself out of habit, your spouse and your kids, this is how to be a well-intended functioning human in society. And as a consequence, our teenagers don't exercise, are not athletic. And to the flip side, I've also heard people say, one particular teenager I'm thinking of who says, oh yeah, I play volleyball. And I'm like, that's great. How much? 2 months out of the year, I'm on the volleyball team.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's something. But she saw herself as athletic. And I'd say that's a definition that's not quite correlating with the definition I have in my head. And then you're into that, you know, how much and whatever else. And I would say, well, everybody's going to have their own story there. back to the point of we as parents are teaching by our behavior.
Well, you know, a couple things that you reminded me of. You know, I can't remember, and it's I don't know how many people I've done that show with. I have 100 people, you know, influence people who have books here that we listen to, that we read, that we follow, let influence us. And I don't think I've ever gotten to the physical spoke and have somebody say, you know what? I don't do a darn thing. Nothing. Right. I will have plenty that say, man, I struggle in that area. I don't like that area, but here's what I do. I did have somebody in the past year. He said, I walk. I walk. I go on walks with my dog and my wife. That's when we catch up and I do walks, but something,
yeah,
you know, there's something there as, and then of course we've got the, you know, the ultra endurance, you know, somebody over here, that's doing so much, but it does make me think what you're talking about of the, so I am correlating that to mental capacity. So I'm making that correlation there, but over here on the labels, I'm thinking about that again and thinking about my kids and, man, I want them. Well, yeah, what are the labels I would want my kids to see with their parents? There's a quote, man, I wish I could pull it up, about the tragedy of kids who have parents. Man, I'm drastically paraphrasing, but in essence, who didn't follow their dreams, who didn't invest in themselves, who didn't, you know, they look up to us so much, they want to, and what do we want to expose themselves to, aspire to? Do we want academics? I mean, do we want purpose? Do we want spirituality? Do we want physical, you know, health and wellness? Do we want morality? Do we want ethics? I mean, we look at these things. Well, then what are we then by, you know, what are we exposing them to? So if I look at these labels, what does mom and dad do? Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting. You know, what are the labels you would associate with your parents? And yeah, would it be what you called me out on? Would it be, oh, he harried, stressed out, super busy, you know, all these, I thought, I don't want those. When you said that, I don't want to emulate that. I'm going to have to change who I'm being, how I'm being, if I want to change that. And, you know, you're talking about the one, do I want them to say, oh, dad's athletic, or no, dad's not capable of much of anything. He can watch me on the sidelines, but he can't get out there and do anything. He can't go on a hike. What do we want those labels to be? You mentioned not having time. I mean, we know the same thing with food. People who are going through McDonald's or picking up processed food or whatever because they don't have time for that. So what do you do to your kids? What do you showcase to your kids that you just work? So what's that do? Works. What's a label? Worker. I mean, literally, we laugh at that, but that's where we've gotten ourselves a lot to it. And I think that's what brought me to this focus, is stepping back and go, gosh, I did have plenty of people who said, no, I'm not going to read theirs, because most of them just said, no, I don't view myself as athletic. I didn't ask them details on that. It'd be interesting if I ask you, is that good? Are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. I don't think.
That's a question we ask in the clinic down. I don't ask the athletic. I mean, it kind of comes down to exercise. Do you exercise? What do you do? And rarely do people just flat out say nothing. But on the, we ask, trying to incorporate anybody in the spiritual side of things, and I'll ask that, and they'll give me an answer. I'm very religious with a community, or I walk outside with in the forest. And one of the questions is, are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. Are you where you want to be? Yeah. Are you on the trajectory that you want to be on? So right now for me, athletically, I would call myself athletic, but I'm not on the trajectory quite that I want to be on. I want to be becoming a little bit better down that pathway.
Yeah. And again, we're back to, you know, devotion and how much we invest, and then capacity, of where we want, how do we want to see ourselves? I mean, again, I'm going to continue playing with this, pondering with this, the athletic. Do we want to do that? You know, one thing when I look at the people, because there's a lot of people who responded, who I know, or even in the health and wellness, you know, industry, they're personal trainers. We've got, I had one right here. I can't pull it up now, but a couple personal trainers that, I mean, that is their livelihood. But when we look at athleticism, the people going back, you just said the word exercise, the people who I know who exercise are not near as excited about it
as an athlete,
as those who have some pursuit. I mean, cause you like soccer, you guys are a soccer family. Last year you did a soccer league, mm-hmm. wasn't it? you do ultimate frisbee. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a thing that you know how to do. I would say I'm probably physically able to. I don't know that sport, so it's I'm not into it. I do, you know, running, riding. I could do kayaking. I mean, I know the things I could do, and I enjoy that. But just as people listen to this who are struggling with it, I would say I see more inspiration from people who don't just exercise, but they actually engage with a specific athletic pursuit and get to know it. I mean, like my wife with Zumba. I mean, I can't do it's dance. I have not developed that capacity yet.
I'm laughing just imagining.
Oh my gosh, it's total dance. And I mean, that was like me trying to do the dance classes with her. I'm frustrated with how it doesn't compute, but I haven't invested enough for it to. But there's a good example, actually. If I did dance enough to finally get, you know, left foot here, right, and get it to work in my brain, again, it's a muscle I haven't used, that kind of a physical awareness or ability. If I did that once after so long and realized, oh my gosh, I can do this, there'd be a smile on my face. I would enjoy it. That's what we see with people who hate running, but do it long.
Well, that's a good definition. You would then be a dancer.
Yeah.
Terry's a dancer.
I could become a dancer.
Canyon became a runner. Yeah, we watched him go from, I am not a runner, to I am a runner. Mm-hmm. And that could go away. I mean, he's young. He might get off that habit or whatever else. But for right now.
Well, we're saying that like people know. I know we've mentioned it, but I do want to say. So I have a son, one of my sons this year, who we said, okay, you've got to do cross country. He was almost to the point of belligerent, and he's not a belligerent kid, almost to the point, but he finally, and I was saying, just do something. And but for lack of choosing something else, you're going to at least do that. Well, he finally then chose it because his brother, they're only 15 months apart. His brother did it. He's like, well, whatever, at least he's doing this. I'll just do it. So he did it and was horrific. His first race, his first 5K, 37 minutes. I don't want to belittle anyone out there because there's people who are, you know, who are not in shape, but that is not a fast time. And for a kid who looks like him, I said, buddy, did you even run? And he was just, he said, I just don't have the will to, Dad. It was a kind of an issue, a moment. Yeah. So I don't have the will to, but he kept doing it. And his brother also cited that he was not connected with the kids. Wasn't connected socially, whatever. But he kept going and blah, blah, blah. Time goes on. He does his, time goes on. I mean, a month, I don't know, 45 days. He does his next race and does 27 minutes. That's incredible. What happened? He says, I don't know. It just feels better. And now I hear that he's, you know, he's talking to, there's a girl that he's made friends with and some of the people he's making friends with. And then boom, the next 30 days. And then he does the last race that they did, and they did it together. Last race, he did a 22, real close to 23, and his brother did like 7 seconds further, under 22 minutes. And he had a smile on his face. I mean, he was so proud of himself. We went running, and at some point of it, or maybe it was a couple days later, I went running with him, and he just kind of at his own pace left the group. So I was with one of his sisters and whatever, and he left it, and he's just, I'm looking at him going, why is he making the effort to run fast? I haven't asked him about it, but now he is, as you said, a runner. It's just what a great fruition to see that when we invest in that thing and become proficient at it, we by proxy have more enjoyment of it. So again, back to that pursuit. If you take up something, I want people to hear that as opposed to saying, no, I exercise. I'm going to go and I'm going to lift that weight 10 times with that weight level. I mean, if you go up and I can do more reps, I can do, you know, heavier weight. That is a progression. I just don't see as much enjoyment generally. I'm making a broad stroke from people who do exercise as opposed to, oh no, I participate in this sport endeavor.
Yeah. And I'll be one of the ones that's going to give you the skeptical thing back because where we live in the league and to drive an hour to go play soccer for 45 minutes and we won't do it again. It's time prohibitive. It's better for me to, you know, force myself to exercise than to go do something like that. But absolutely, would I enjoy it more if we were doing that kind of all the time?
When weather permitting, you do. How many Sundays? But last year?
Weather permitting,
which we're playing ultimate frisbee.
It's a frustrating thing is that it's 3 months out of the year.
I know. Yeah.
And so I'm one of those people that I hear you, but. You know, the league is an hour away and can't change that. So it still comes back to the mindset of choosing to engage in exercise as a pursuit, as a as a, you know, and as an athlete. And we're kind of back to that term, and maybe we're encouraging people. I'm encouraging myself to kind of click over a little bit and say, it doesn't mean you have to be as fast, as strong, as whatever, as Kevin Miller or whoever. It is within your own head, seeing yourself that way, you are much more likely to be becoming a little bit better version of yourself.
I hear you on that. And I said earlier in this show, you know, I love my exercise and stuff. Honestly, the exercise aspect, like I got weights over there that I've started doing that. Or I'll do, you know, during the day, who knows, I'll do 4-8 sets of, you know, shoulders and biceps, and I'll do push-ups and whatever. I do not like that. Like your, who's your Mahomes guy? What's he saying?
100% hate him and 100% don't care.
Yeah, with his green beans as he's doing them. That would be me. I don't enjoy lifting inanimate objects. It's not my gig, but I do it because running and riding don't work out my upper body and give me the athleticism, you know, that I want. That is the benefit of running. We're a running family, and that's it. You can do it. It's absolutely free. You can do it anywhere. All you need is a pair of shoes or barefoot, which we can do that too. You know, that is a benefit of that, especially if you live in an area like we do. Cycling is an easy one, you know, as well. But yeah, some of the other ones, it takes such an investment to go do
skiing. That's, I mean, it's, oh, just my gosh, people that, say, oh, I ski. I'm like, ugh.
That is the hardest one for me. It's such an effort to take the family and expense and holy smokes.
We talked about it yesterday as a family. I looked at my son and I'm like, do you really want to? Because it is such a pain to get the family out there to do something like that. It's always great. It's like camping. It's great after you've done it. You tell the stories, and we did it as a family. But when the alarm goes off at, you know, 5:30 on a Saturday morning to get out there, it's hard.
Well, so we can end with, you know, one more offering that I'll give people is, it is, if you're struggling with exercise, you're struggling with this, you know, being athletic, whatever, we're back to the blue zones, getting with other people who do is such a huge benefit. I shared about my wife. She loves her Zumba class because she's with those people. And I've seen so many people who, especially ones who are trying to restart or get fit for the first time, you know, to take running, they'll do that and join a local running club. I mean, almost, we're in a pissant little town. We have a running club. I think there's a cycling club. I don't know what all clubs are, but you can join those. But even going to the events, I mean, that's so many people get inspired. I think they do things like the 5Ks because you go there, there's a lot happening, you know, a lot of them are big events and it's exciting. It's inspiring. It's invigorating. You go do it. They send you your time. They send you a picture, and to take on again that role of athleticism and to be a part of a group is one of the best things for accountability, positive accountability, and involvement. We all want to be involved and have a community. Is find that community, you know, find however you can.
I would second that, even on the medical side. And we're back to that foundational concept of relationship. You said community. Be in relationship with yourself, with your family, with, and then in that next layer with a community. Now we're going to have to put even a little bit more effort and awareness of that. So but I would encourage people to lean that way.
Yeah. Look for it. That is such an admitted deficiency now.
You cannot play soccer online.
You can't play soccer online. That's true. That is true. All right. Well, here's to all my fellow athletes. And hey, if you happen to use the Strava app, it's a cool social app for athletes that tracks your workouts. You can find me there. I couldn't find an actual profile name, a lot of Kevin Millers, but the number that they give you, it's 409-70257. Be happy to connect with you there and keep up with each other and our athletic pursuits. Thank you for tuning into the Self-Helpful Podcast, where I strive to help you and me elevate our personal experience of life and the way we show up for others. Stay driven, my friends.